combined with the open data and the apps contest really produced three benefits. Number one, they increase efficiency in local government. We can share data amongst different bureaus because the formats are standardized. And they also democratize the public data itself. In a sense, it increases access and transparency so that as more people have access to the data, they can hold government more accountable as well. The third component or third benefit of this proposed resolution is that it'll foster innovation among Portland's world-class software community. And the Portland region is really home to a number of leading software vendors, open source foundations, and software professionals. With this resolution, we are announcing that the city of Portland is interested in raising the visibility of this community and showcasing its talents in a joint effort to improve local government.
Thank you, Skip. My name is Mark Granke. I'm the city's chief technology officer. I am pleased to be here today to publicly confirm the city's commitment to foster greater collaboration with and support of our talented and innovative open source community and to really usher in a new era of Portland government transparency through the use and adoption of open technologies. Portland region is the epicenter of open source software industry with leading foundations, businesses, professionals located in and around Portland. At the core of this resolution is the word open. Portland has a proud culture of openness and inclusion. By ensuring open source solutions are considered as viable alternatives to commercial software in our purchasing and contracting decisions, the city is demonstrating greater fiscal responsibility in our technology decisions. By making vast amounts of city data freely and publicly available electronically, and by publishing open data sets, we allow our citizens to make informed decisions about how they want their government to perform, as well as introduce innovative ways to use this data to benefit our community. With me today is Rick Nixon. He's the program manager for BTS and the lead on the city's open technology initiatives. Rick's going to talk briefly again about the partnerships the city's already formed in support of this important resolution, as well as more detail on our contest.
Before we do that, though, I just want to thank you, Mark, for not just your willingness but enthusiasm for helping to really change the way that city of Portland government does its business to be the first adopter, the first supporter, the place of innovation for open source and open data. You're relatively new to the job, and I just really appreciate your very different approach than some of your predecessors to this issue.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Good morning. As noted, planning for the apps design contest began a couple of months ago as part of the Open Data Initiative. When the city began meeting with regional data owners as stakeholders to request their cooperation and coordination to release their high-value data sets to the public domain. The concept is to make various sets of public data freely available in electronic form to allow the community to develop innovative open-source applications to showcase this data in interesting and informative ways. As Skip had mentioned, in addition to city data, we're seeking partnerships with other regional government entities, including Multnomah County, Metro, TriMet, Portland Public Schools, and others. The overall strategy is for the city of Portland to play the role of a contributor and enabler in creating a regional open data platform for anyone to access and use. This open data is to remain close and under the purview of the respective data owners, staged on publicly accessible servers for easy access. Ongoing maintenance and continued population of even more data sets over time will rest with the respective data owners, which will probably be driven by public demand over time. Once we've amassed a sufficient number of data sets, we will continue to work with our community partners from both the private sector and academia to oversee the creation of a data portal website, which is linked to the region's entire data catalog. At or very near the time that we go live with the data portal, we will commence with running the application design contest itself, whereby we hope to entice the local software and creative development communities to participate in creating applications that mix and match or mash up the various open data sets to produce unique and compelling open source applications that have broad appeal in addressing civic issues and the needs of the community. The type of applications or mashups we expect from the contest will vary by platform and visualization methods, including various iPhone apps, Google Maps, widgets, websites, and or integrations with Facebook or Twitter, each providing a unique social value proposition for the community to consider, access, and use. All resulting apps for the contest will be licensed under the open source licensing, allowing anyone free use, free distribution, and the right to modify or extend the application's purpose or capability. The council resolution before us allowed us to associate and pledge support for these closely related goals together: open data, open standards, open source software, and the apps design contest in support of the open data. The council resolution also presented further opportunity for us to reach out and begin collaborating with a number of community leaders, group organizers, open source developers, and other representatives from the software community, informing not only the resolution itself, but also the continued planning and execution surrounding the application design contest, which we expect to kick off later this year. And lastly, I'd like to thank and acknowledge the following members of the community and city staff that have been involved in reviewing and or providing input to the resolution and or are continuing with ongoing efforts to planning and execution of the application design contest. And that is Eva Schweber from CubeSpace, John Purr from Perspectives, Audrey Eschwright from Caligator of Open Source Bridge fame, Court Buchholz from Single Mind Consulting, Deb Bryant, Open Source Lab, Oregon State University, Jeff Sheltran, Open Source Lab, Oregon State University, Brian Jamison from Open Sorcery, Rick Tarosi from Silicon Florist, and Brian Cassell from Jan Rain. The following city staff were also heavily involved: Joel Donaldson of Bureau of Technology Services, Philip Holmstrand of BTS, Skip Newberry, Warren Jimenez from the Mayor's Office, Mark Chubb of Poem, Tan Nguyen from BTS, and Mark Granke from BTS as well. And with that,
So why don't you give council some examples of, let's say, apps that other cities have facilitated the creation of that serve to improve customer service or just life in the city, in a city?
Some of the more impressive apps are typically the mobile apps, iPhone apps that they're using, typically the city's 311 API, whereby citizens geolocate issues with the application for the city to respond to.
And so let me try to translate.
What's an API?
Let me translate that into, you can take a picture of a pothole and email it to a city site.
To the city.
And the geographic location of which is built into many smartphones would automatically tell us where the pothole is.
So you get
and
real.
And we would be able to get back to the individual and let them know when it was filled.
Correct.
One example. Right now, TriMet has an app that tells you when the next transit, bus, light rail, streetcar arrives at the station.
We envision like an example application is, say, you want to know where the closest park is with a certain amount of certain amenities. Well, at the same point, where's the closest bus stop? And, oh, by the way, when's that bus going to be here? So lots of innovative ways you can use this data that's from all these government sources and allow the citizens to do that innovation.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate it. Do we have some folks invited testimony?
We've signed up.
Okay.
Four people have signed up. Jason Matasow, Mike Sachs, and Eva Schweber.
Please come forward.
I believe.
Okay.
Okay. Joel Donaldson, then.
Joel Donaldson. Please come forward. Thanks for waiting. Does anyone else wish to testify? Come on up. Glad you're here. Thanks for your patience.
Sure.
Why don't you begin?
Hi, I'm Jason Matasow. I'm a 15-year Portland resident, but I'm also a Microsoft employee. I'm Senior Director of International Standards for Microsoft, and also I ran our global open source strategy for about 5 years. So thank you to the council for having this discussion and also for having me here. In general, when I hear this stuff about the open source resolution, I think it's terrific. I think that the idea of going after openness, collaboration, are we going to be on an app now?
This is You're going to be tweeted.
Cool. That's awesome. I'll tweet back.
Okay.
So the idea of promoting openness and collaboration endorsement of Portland as a leader in the segment of the software industry, I think, is very, very positive. And, in fact, I know our local office here is very involved in some of the efforts to do some work on an online dashboard using the data that's being put forward and making those some very interesting technologies available for citizens. I do encourage the council to look carefully at this because a number of the pieces of the language do have a tendency towards procurement mandates. And one of the issues that I've been very involved in around the world is procurement mandates as they relate to software. And there tends to be a challenge that comes forward when we think about openness and then as it relates to technology to then classify any one technology as open, other technologies as not open, whether or not that would mandate a particular decision of procurement. So within that context, organizations such as the City of Portland could potentially preclude the choice of software if you were to mandate openness or not. And I don't mean this just in the context of my own company's piece. And I'm here as a person who lives here and has been watching a number of these issues for a long time, that most technology providers use a hybrid approach today. They use open technologies. They use things that they develop on their own as proprietary. And in coming at something and saying that something must be one way or another, it tends to then preclude a choice. Or potentially, even in some scenarios, you have an existing set of technologies with a mandate on it. Innovation in that same space comes along in the future, and you can't make that move to the future versions just because there's a mandate for an existing model or existing component in the past. So it's a question of balance and looking in towards the future that as you talk about openness, that you also think more broadly about the implications on procurement. So in closing, you know, the openness of the data, the approach to collaboration, working carefully with the community is terrific. It creates opportunity and promotes Portland as a center of excellence. I think that's great. Just be balanced as you approach the issue when it comes to then procurement mandates and the implication for the city. So thank you very much.
Thanks for your testimony. Sir.
hi, my name is Mike Sachs, and I'm a software entrepreneur. I guess I've been doing this in Oregon for about 15 years. And I've been involved in wellness software and communications components and recently iPhone apps. Mm. First of all, I want to say how happy I am that we're creating this, you know, software community and we have your support because it really makes a big difference. And having this brand of Portland as a city of software is important because it helps attract talent, it creates community, and it really is, you know, very helpful. So thank you for that. The software that I've been involved in mostly includes both open source and commercial software, and that's how people these days build projects. It's not just big companies like IBM and Google and Oracle and Microsoft and Apple that combine open source and commercial software. Everybody is doing it. And a lot of companies in the area actually use build commercial software but also use open source. And I think it's important to recognize that there is a very vibrant and important commercial software industry here in the Portland area and that thousands of people support their family building commercial software and sometimes also using open source. We can't just ignore that. And this resolution is a lot about openness and inclusion, so excluding commercial software from this positive momentum that we're building, I think would be a big mistake. The second comment that I would like to share is that the parts in the resolution that encourage or create a little bit of a bias towards purchasing open source solutions for the city might have a few consequences in the way we think about that. In a time of budget crunch, it's easy to go for, you know, the cheap, easy solution, but sometimes, or maybe better even free, because it doesn't affect the budget of this year. But we also have to look at the long-term costs and make sure that it's the right solution. So if an IT professional in the city believes that a commercial product ends up being the right thing, I don't think that person should feel like they're sticking their neck out or they're going to be frowned upon by the commissioners or their colleagues because of this resolution. So in closing, thank you very much for creating this positive momentum and tending to this beautiful software garden and ecosystem that we've built. But please pay attention to both sides of the garden, the open source and the commercial software part of that, because it would be very tragic if we neglect the commercial, that part of the garden, and let it even die out.
Allay your concerns, the vast majority of software that runs this city is proprietary commercial software. Vast. The percentage that is open source, minuscule. So the phrase in here that says encourage the consideration of open source software and review, I don't think comes close to rising to a mandate.
Great.
Rest assured.
Thank you.
Sir.
My name is Joel Donaldson, and thank you for presenting this resolution. Commissioner.
You get a little closer to the mic, sir.
Yes.
Thanks. Thank you.
And Commissioner Fritz, I wanted just to say that I too believe in karma, and I think this resolution in the whole open government concept is all about holding hands, working together, great things we can do. I'd like to briefly just say that I have 12 years experience working in government technology, starting in the United States Senate, and I'm glad to work now with Mark Granke, and I want to second your appreciation that he has brought a transforming force to technology in the city. My comments are specifically addressed at the critical success factors, which I think we're not specifically talking about related to this resolution. I wholeheartedly support openness and inclusion, not excluding anyone. As a technology professional, I can attest that we look for the best solution, not the cheap solution, and in many cases, most cases, it's a commercial product. But increasingly, there is a new philosophy of doing things, which is growing ground, gaining ground, and presenting a whole new universe, a garden of possibilities. And I want to briefly just reiterate that these this new philosophy, some of you have heard of Linus Torvalds. There's called the Linus Law, which states that given enough eyeballs, all bugs are shallow. And this is opposed to the traditional development process called the Brooks Law. Too many cooks spoil the broth. And I think that this captures a whole new approach to solutions, not just in software, but in public policy debates, in general problem solving. We're in an information age, and information is now the currency of power. And those who have the information have less power. And I think the more information we give through open data to our citizens, the more power they have in their iPhone, for example, walking down the street, and able to see what options are available for them as consumers and as citizens. And that environment strengthens our community. And I want to support unanimous passage of this resolution. Thank you.
Thank you all very much. Really appreciate it. Carla?
That's all who signed up.
All right. Anyone else wish to testify that did not sign up? All right. Would you please call the roll?
Fritz?
Well, thank you for that excellent testimony, and thank you, Mayor Adams, for bringing this forward. I want to highlight two of the directives in the resolution. One is to enter into agreements with our regional partners to publish and maintain public data sets that are open and freely available while respecting privacy and security concerns as identified by the city attorney. So we are aware of the issues of privacy and personal responsibility, and also that this will take some staff time to do that. So I wanted to allay some concerns that I've heard on that. And the second is the final part, which says this resolution directs the city's purchasing agent to notify and distribute all formal technology relating to purchasing and contract opportunities for publication and distribution by the Software Association of Oregon, Oregon Entrepreneurs Network, and the open source community, in addition to those public notice requirements required under the Portland City Code. So it's just saying that we need to offer and invite other open source products into our purchasing decisions as well as the commercial. So I think that that does address some of the concerns that I heard today. And I had to smile a little bit at the example that was given about looking for the nearest park and the next bus. In some parts of town, the answers to those are quite depressing. And so I want to acknowledge that Mayor Adams has, even before this, taken the lead on data gathering by neighborhood, that we should not be afraid to find out that some neighborhoods have more amenities and services than others, and then we can have a plan to address them. So this is another tool in being able to do that, but that it's one in a long list of things that the mayor has been doing to make sure that we have information on which to base our decisions. Aye.
Fish.
Thank you for a terrific presentation and for the testimony. Well, I am probably the most technologically challenged person on the council. I have a daughter who is in the front lines of this stuff, so that she's my expert, and she even would like me to get a smartphone someday. So we're thinking about that. So anyway, thanks for an informative presentation, and thank you, Mayor, for your leadership. Bye.
Adams.
Well, I just want to thank the team for putting this together. We've consulted with a lot of folks and appreciate their input as well. Aye. Resolution is approved. Can you please read the title for resolution number 1375?
Support retention of international air service to Portland International Airport and allocate funds to assist the Port of Portland and State of Oregon in this retention initiative.
Well, I am pleased to bring this forward to follow up on council discussions regarding this matter earlier in this calendar year. We have some special guests that will provide more detail. I simply want to say that $300,000 does not solve the global airline crisis. But as airlines decide where to keep and cut services, these kinds of partnerships on the local level make an impact. And $300,000 can will be added, if approved by council, to a fund that includes private sector commitments and Port of Portland commitments to continue the international connections that we have through Delta, with Delta, to Tokyo and to Amsterdam. Those connections are valued to our local economy of $150 million, with 2,000 jobs directly tied to them. And as I'm sure Mr. Wyatt will talk about, he and I have been on this issue in various positions over a number of years, whether it's him in the governor's office, me as chief of staff to the mayor, that keeping airline connections is a lot more effective. Efforts to keep airline connections a lot more effective and oftentimes much cheaper than it is to try to win them back after they've been canceled. And that's what today is all about. So, Mr. Wyatt, if you'd please come forward, and thank you for your patience and for spending time with us today.
So I would make this offer. I know that you're going to set this for a time certain two to vote on it. If you would prefer, I was going to be here anyway, so I'd be happy to. I'm just kind of looking at the clock here, and I don't hear any grumbling stomachs. But
okay, if you want to come back at two, we'll do that.
I'd be happy to do that. And just in the spirit of other witnesses, let me say you all look fabulous.
thank you. We'll have you back at 2. But as anyone would like to testify right now that cannot come back at 2, all right. Sir, please come forward. Good morning, Mr. Baugh. How are you?
I'm doing well, Mr. Mayor. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Gerald Baugh, Portland Development Commission, and I'll make this very quick. I've had the opportunity to have served on the International Air Service Committee when it was first put together, when Delta pulled out of this market some years ago. And the value of it, you've kind of alluded to, and I will talk about two business cases that I would love you to consider as you come to vote later on this afternoon. When Lufthansa announced their direct air service between Portland and Frankfurt, Germany, when I worked for the city of Vancouver, Washington, an engineering firm, Bill Fingerberger, relocated from Denver to Vancouver because of that air service connection. Just recently, in August, we had a project called Project Charger that we, PDC, are working on, and they've made a decision on their wind turbine company, which is of a German subsidiary, to not choose Portland as a location. They've chosen Denver because of that air service connection between Denver and Frankfurt, Germany through Lufthansa. So while it doesn't, the 300,000 doesn't solve everything, I will tell you that it's vitally important from our standpoint of trying to execute on the economic development strategy of 10,000 jobs in a very short period of 5 years. And when we're thinking international and thinking about things that happen, transportation is the key for that situation. So with that, I will leave you, but I wanted to have you have that as part of the testimony as you come back and consider it this afternoon.
Thank you, Mr. Baugh. Unless there are objections, item number 1375 is set over until 2 p.m. Can you please read the title for non-emergency ordinance, Council Calendar, item 1376?
Authorize the Bureau of Environmental Services to amend a legal description for a temporary construction easement and to acquire said easement for the Bulch Consolidation Conduit Project number E05510 through the exercise of the city's eminent domain authority.
Is there any controversy involving this?
Not that I'm aware of, Mr. Mayor.
I move the ordinance.
Any reason we shouldn't support it?
Not that I'm aware of, Mr. Mayor.
Second.
Is there anyone in the room that would seek to testify in 1376?
I move to call the question.
Moves to a second reading next week. Thank you. Can you please read the title for second reading, agenda item 1377?
Approve Teacher's Fountain as the name for the fountain located in Director Park.
Can you please call the vote?
Fritz?
I'm delighted to vote for this ordinance. And again, thank you, Commissioner Fish, for your leadership on this. And thank you to the sponsors for the name Teacher's Fountain and to all of our teachers everywhere. Aye.
Fish?
This fountain and this naming opportunity is the direct result of the generous donation of Jordan Schnitzer, who, with other private donors, contributed 60% of the cost to one of the newest crown jewels of our park system. I will vote yes today, both in honor of my wife, who is a teacher, as well as to all the teachers who've made a lasting impression and difference in my 51 years. Aye.
Adams.
Thank you, Commissioner Fish, for your very effective fundraising to make sure that the full vision of this block has been realized. Really appreciate it. And I know it's been hard. And thank you. Aye. 1377 is approved. We are about to adjourn. So I want to recognize Minister Rodney Hyde and Consul General John Materia. How's that? From Los Angeles are here as part of you're from New Zealand, is that right? As part of an international study to observe local government. So welcome. We're glad you're here. And this will be a quick observation as we gavel to a recess and we come back at 2 p.m. So thank you. We stand recessed.